chapter 12, and verse 1 says that us, talking about us running the race.
Yeah, man.
And this song, of course, I'm putting God's word first place on that. Hey, songs are pretty good. My stuff ain't, this is just man talking here. Songs are pretty good. God's word is perfect.
Yeah, yeah, man.
But listen, here talking about bravely running the race. Hey, that's not talking about the rat race out there.
Uh-uh.
Hey, that's talking about running God's race.
Right. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem.
Yes.
Just go to him in prayer.
Amen.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small.
Yes, they will.
When we see Christ.
That's James.
One glimpse on his dear face, all sorrow will erase.
Amen.
So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Amen.
By the way, I just remembered I need to finish up one verse up because I want to get out there. The race that Christ run and what he had to go through. By the way, which we don't have to go through this right here, by the way. But on that verse too, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was beset before him endured the cross,
yes,
despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. Thank God.
Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll
If you've got Revelation chapter number 12, say amen. If you ain't got it, you done had way too much time to find it, and you ain't going to find it now, so look off your neighbor. I'm going to read verse number 10 and verse number 11, and I please pray for me this evening. And it says this in verse 12 of Revelation, verse number 10, chapter 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Would you help me pray? Precious God, merciful Savior, I come before you, Lord, one more time. This day, Lord, Father, this evening, Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for how I feel this evening. But, oh God, I ask you, Lord, Father, Lord, to preach through us. I ask you, God, to send us your message tonight. God, I want to be a help to these people, Lord, and even a help to myself. I want to inspire even my own self, as David encouraged himself, Lord, to be inspired, encouraged, provoked, Lord God, to be more like you in a world, Lord Father, where the world and sin and desires and lust are constantly tugging at our flesh and our mind. God, help us tonight to be more like you and keep our eyes focused and our heart clean, Lord Father, and our conscience unspotted by looking towards you, oh God, and looking towards your word and towards your spirit. And oh God, I pray tonight, Lord Father, for the revelation that will appear in our heart. That God, the word that you will send, the way you will speak to our hearts, Lord God, that we cannot deny, Lord God, that Lord, not only that we hear the word, but Lord Father, that we'd be a doer of the word. For our brother James, Lord, as he wrote in his epistle, that it's them that are justified, that are doers of the word. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord God, that we apply it to our life. Don't leave us unchanged. God, change us this evening. And that God, we'd be more like unto your dear Son, in whom, Lord Father, we have been predestined to be like. And God, I pray tonight, Lord God, for all of our hearts, Lord God, that we would seek your will, seek your truths, and seek your desire for our life this evening. And oh God, I would be amiss, Lord Father, not to ask and pray, Lord, if there be any here among us that's not saved and it's not born again, that God, tonight would be the night they get the best testimony. And Father, that they give you all the praise, and us too, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing in reading on here in Revelation chapter number 12 and in verse number 10 and verse number 11. And as we said, the thought that's upon our heart, and we'll come back to that scripture, is that the power of a testimony. The power of a testimony. I'm glad in the scriptures how that you can find places where there's testimonies, how a testimony can be given. A testimony can not only just be spoke, but the how it is spoke or how it is presented. I'm often reminded and have been saying here recently about how the watchman that is upon the wall in Isaiah chapter number 62 and verse number 6, it says that I have set watchmen upon the walls, upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day or night. Yet they make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. He's saying that that testimony should never be hushed. That testimony should never be shut up. I know a lot of times, Brother James, people will say, well, the watchman just strictly belongs to the preacher. But I beg to differ, friend. In 2015, we're all preaching something. And we all need to be preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Some folks say, well, that's just left up to the man who stands in the pulpit. But I beg to differ, friend. There's some people you can't get into the church house, so they need a message and they need a warning out there on the sidewalk. They need one in the parking lot of Walmart. They need one in the dairy aisle at Kroger's, or they need one in Save-A-Lot. They need one at Kmart. They need one at the auto parts place, or they need one at the muffler place, or they need one at just wherever they need. They need to hear about Jesus. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this and saying that that you're not much of a watchman, but I'm telling you, it's a great responsibility that the Lord has placed into the hands of us as being watchmen. May I remind everybody, though, in Isaiah, it was talking about upon the walls of Jerusalem. But can I reiterate this tonight, that Jesus said that we are a city set upon a hill, that cannot be hid. That means we should be lifted up a little bit higher. Not that we're better than anybody else, but that our voices may carry with much volume and much power the testimony that will save the soul. I'm telling you the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you about saying something to somebody about what the Lord has done. It says in Psalm chapter number 66 and verse number 16, it says, "Come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." The psalmist was wanting somebody to come hear him, and he wanted to tell everybody just exactly what God had done for his soul. I can't tell you about how God put me like Atlas and is in an athletic type situation or shape. I can't say, as we was joking around about having the beautiful locks of hair maybe like Samson had, or having the wisdom like Solomon that he had and the Apostle Paul. I can't say the great fear and power that folks had and reverencing of John the Baptist, but I can tell you what God has done for my soul. I mean, I never have been crippled. I never have been blind. I never have been deaf. I've always been able to speak pretty clear. I've never had any kind of physical problems. I can't tell you all the great things that God has delivered in that situation, but I can tell you what God has done for my soul. And can I say tonight that if you all the physical infirmities and all the things that could happen to our life will soon pass away and they won't matter no how. But it's the soul that makes the biggest difference, because the soul is what gets sealed into the day of redemption. It's the soul that goes back to God if it has been redeemed. It is the soul that will rest eternity in the hands, eternal in the hands of Jesus Christ. But oh, if God has not done nothing for your soul will wind up in hell. It'll burn and burn and burn and burn and still yet never be put into ashes. It'll die and die and die, but still yet it'll never cease to exist. But I'm glad tonight, maybe I don't have the finest of vocabulary. I don't have the smartest of intelligence, nor great theological standards or things that I can express or impress people with. But I can tell you what God has done for my soul. Oh, yes, tonight, can I say this? Sometimes people just disregard, or sometimes they forget, or sometimes they don't think it much of importance of a testimony. But can I tell you this tonight? I've often looked at how people have talked and how they'll say, "Well, I don't know as much Bible as the other person, or I don't know as much scripture or have it memorized as the other person, or I'm not as eloquent as in speaking as this person." But yeah, if God saved your soul, you've got something powerful that you can share with everybody else. I've often been told this, and I've said it before here, and I'll say it again. I've heard people say, "I get tired of hearing preachers giving their testimonies over and over and over." Well, my opinion is, if everybody else would give theirs as half as much as the preachers do, the preacher won't have time to give his testimony, and the testimony will be given out. What's the testimony, preacher? The most important testimony is to say what God has done for your soul. Can I tell you tonight, it's not CPR that he does to your soul. It's not electric shock treatment that he does for your soul. It's not a prescription that you take for the rest of your life for your soul. It's the blood washing that Christ done upon Calvary that'll wash away the soul of man, the sins of the soul of man, and make it whiter than snow. I'm glad to know tonight that it is that is the "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." And can I say this tonight? It's not just a testimony individually, but it's a testimony that is collective. The power of a collective testimony speaks volumes in today's day. May I say this tonight, that also spoke volumes ever since time has began. I'm telling you that when God had brought the people together, when God had put people together, there was great things that God had done. The Bible says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I shall be in the midst." I've heard some people say, "Well, I can't worship it. Them little old podunk churches that's got maybe 20 people on a good day, or got 30 people on a good day." I mean, some people look at us, and we had 101 here last Sunday. They would say, "We're just a little podunk church." But I'm glad it's not just where two or three are gathered in his name. He's there in the midst, but it's also the testimony that brung us all together. Oh, that's exactly right. In Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 16, it says, "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name." I believe them people talked about Jesus to one another. I think they encouraged themselves about God to one another. I mean, if you'll have it tonight, I think when they got together, they talked about just how good God had been to them throughout the week. Am I hearing this, preacher? I mean, sometimes we'll get together and say, "Well, my back hurts. My ankle's been hurting me. My head's been throbbing. Got this catch in my elbow. Can't make a full grip. My throat's been dry. My belly's been a cramping. And my ear's been pouring out some wax. God help us tonight. What we need is to get close to one another and say, thank God I'm not in the ICU. I'm not in the nursing home. I'm not laid up on my back waiting to die. But bless God, I've got something on the inside. Let me tell you all about it. And when I shut up, then you can tell me all about it." We should bear and lift each other up and tell about what God has done for us. Sometimes we come together. Sometimes when we come together, we don't realize and see the importance of sharing God to one another. We never understand, or sometimes we never realize the opportunity that it is to talk about what exactly God has done for you during the week. That would help somebody who may be facing something. I've often talked with people, and I've put little nuggets in my head, and I put little nuggets in my heart, and I've heard things that's been said and testified, and people have said some things to me that helped me. Can I say this? Just because maybe I did not react at that moment, does it mean it did not help me in my life? I'll never forget, some person pulled me aside after they testified about it in church and told me, said, "Jason, Daddy's not got much longer for this world. You better spend all the time you got with him." Now, some people would not dare say that, but I'm glad somebody pulled me aside and said that, because I got to spend as much time as I could with my dad before he left this world. Did it break my heart? Yes, but I'm telling you, I'm glad I got to hear somebody share something good in my life. It strengthened me. It helped me. It made not only my life a little bit better, but it strengthened my testimony. Woo! Bless his holy and righteous name. I've been in hearing people said some things and some testimonies that they've given about how God has delivered them. How some people said, "Well, I ain't going to do this or I ain't going to do that because there's no way I'll get through it." But I've heard other people been put through the hamburger grinder, if you'll have it, when it comes to the flesh, but come out with both hands lifted up in victory, saying, "God done it for me. He can do it for you." I love it when the church testifies together. It said that in Malachi, but it also says it, that's Old Testament, but it also says it in the New Testament. Can I remind us tonight that sometimes when we come to the house of God, I know we come together and we'll get up, we'll open up service, and we'll ask for some songs from the songbook, and we'll ask for some songs from the congregation or the people who have special songs. But can I really say something tonight? Them songs are really serious business when it comes to the Lord. The songs and the time that we spend together are serious business when it comes to the Lord. Brother James, I just love it when the youth group sings, "Savior, He Can Move a Mountain." And it brings a tear to my eye. And you say, "Preacher, what do you like that song for?" Because it reminded me of the mountains He's removed in my life from the past, and lets me know He'll keep removing mountains in my future. I'm about to dance me a jig up here. I feel pretty good tonight, and I'm glad to know that when we come together and sing some songs and pray together and get together, it's a testimony for the whole church. It says, speaking to yourselves in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. It says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, can I stop and say this? I'm not harping on anybody singing, because some people think I'm crazy. If you may not think you can sing good, I just want to hear everybody sing and hear them sing good and loud. I've heard people say, "Preacher, you don't want to hear me sing good and loud." Well, it's not the fact that I want to hear how pretty you sing. I want to feel what God's done in your heart and you sing at the top of your lungs. I mean, I've seen some people come to church, they'll open up the songbook, they'll cock up an eyebrow, they'll get a stink look on their face and say, "Amazing Grace." I mean, they don't see how it could be too amazing in their life. But I've seen some people come to the house of God, Brother James, and they're about 3 or 4 keys off. They'd be out of octave, their voice will pop, their voice will crack, and they'll lean back and they'll belt it as loud as they can get it. And some people say, "Well, that's a bug in me. Well, it might be a bug in you, but I think it's a blessing, God. Woo! Can I say this tonight when we come together? We ought to be singing songs and hymns and psalms to one another and making a happy melody in our heart. Why, preacher? Because this just might be the last time we get filled up. This just might be the last time before Friday gets here we'll ever have something resembling the power of God that we can get together on Wednesday night. And then come Friday, we might be facing a storm, but you could draw back on Wednesday when somebody testified and the song that was sung reminding you God ain't left you. He ain't forsook you. He's still walking with you till the, you might hear this preacher this evening, and he'll go with you till the ends of the world. Oh, the power of a collective testimony. I know some people don't understand it, but it means a whole lot. Here recently, I don't know if anybody else has been noticing, I know it's been said from up here by more than one or two people. Now, y'all sing with us now. Y'all get sing with us. Sing kind of loud. Sing with us. And we started singing that beautiful Star of Bethlehem tonight, and I quit singing, and I could hear people singing. And I'm telling you, I mean, it's not just my ears, Sister Rita, but to me, I just love to hear a congregation sing the songs of God. Don't get me wrong, I love church choir, and I love to hear our youth choir. I think it's awesome. I think it's great. It overwhelms my heart. And I love hearing most everybody, I love hearing anybody sing, as long as the Spirit in it. I love specials. But there's just something that gets me longing for heaven, Brother James, when all the people of heaven start singing about the reason why they're going to heaven, about the one who made it all possible, and the whole congregation blends in. And oh, and it's just songs being sung. What is that, preacher? What is that? What's that the sound of? It's the sound of triumph. It's the sound of victory. It's the sound of you ain't going to hold me down. It's the sign of you ain't going to rain on my parade. It's the sign of I'm going to praise Jesus no matter what the world says. Oh, the word and the collective testimony of the church speaks volumes in this world. I've heard people say, preacher, the second greatest power on earth is the power of Satan. I beg to differ. It's the power of the church. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I'm telling you tonight, we've got all the power in the world to change kingdoms, to change mountains, to move people, and to move God. Because of a collective testimony. The power of a testimony. Can I say this tonight? I thought about the little maid. Some people think it means that she was a young lady in 2 Kings chapter number 5. Naaman was a mighty man of valor. That means he was highly looked upon. He was high up in society, if you'll have it. Mighty man of valor. Whooped a lot of things, James. But he had a secret that he couldn't whoop. And it was called leprosy. Now, we could go all day on what leprosy is spiritually. And it's been preached here before quite well. But God wanted me to focus on about how Naaman got the best cure for his leprosy. Now, he got it from the man of God by the power of God through that man of God is how he got the cure for the leprosy. And oftentimes we preach about the rivers, and oftentimes we preach about Elisha sending out his servant, and oftentimes we preach about how Naaman was upset thinking, surely the man of God would come out and throw up his hands and lightnings would flash and thunders would clap and clouds would roll and the leprosy would just poof up in smoke. But it didn't happen that way. But can I tell everybody, there's no way Naaman would have got cured from leprosy if it wasn't for a little old testimony from a little old maid that told his wife about the man of God in Samaria. Oftentimes people look at the young person, and I want to direct this right now to young people. Oftentimes you might think, well, I'm not old enough. And oftentimes the old people might think, well, they ain't old enough. And oftentimes people might say, well, they ain't smart enough. And some people might say, well, they ain't experienced enough. Well, I'm telling you, he doesn't take much experience to tell you what God's done for you. And it ain't much experience. It doesn't take much age to let them know what Jesus done in your life. I can just see that little maid now going up to that woman that she'd been working for. And she'd say, Miss. I can see her saying this. I know that the master's got some problems. And I wasn't looking. But I know somebody can take care of his problems. I know somebody over in Samaria, a prophet, the man of God, who can take care of his problems. Now that woman could have said no. But Brother James, if he's a mighty man of valor and had great wealth, I think he searched out everything he could to take care of his leprosy. I think he tried everything he could think of. He might even put Vicks vapor rub on his feet to try to get rid of that leprosy, but it didn't work. But oh, and that little old maid not only told him who could help, I believe there was a power that filled up the room when she said, I know a man who can take care of your problem. I know somebody over in Samaria that can take care of what you need to be taken care of. And it all started because a little old lady, little old maid, I should say, little old maid, little young woman told him about what God can do for him. I'm reminded in John chapter number 4 how Jesus says, I have much needs to go through Samaria. And I believe with all my heart he was going through Samaria for a woman at the well at noon. And oftentimes we preach and we talk about what, how Jesus did and about the well and about thirsting again and about the water he'll give her, she'll never thirst again. All those things are good. But God zeroed beyond in the last part of what happened to that lady. Can I say this tonight? I ain't trying to be mean. So many times people take this scripture and mean it for something that women can preach in the pulpit as men preach in the pulpit, and that's not what this means. Don't get me wrong. I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just giving you what the Bible says. But this woman did do something a whole lot powerful than anybody else was doing that day. And the Bible says that when she left her water pot, she went back to the city in verse number 29 in chapter number 4 of the Gospel of John. And she told them people in the city, she said, come see a man that told me all that I have ever did. Somebody say amen right there. I believe she couldn't keep her mouth shut. I mean, she may have, because it's my opinion, I do believe it, because according to the custom of those days, she went to the well at noon. That was not the time that they would normally went and got water. I mean, she was embarrassed about her past. She was probably embarrassed about her life right then, and people probably poked fun and made fun of her and gossiped about her. But when Jesus passed by her way and changed her on the inside, Michelle, she didn't care what anybody thought of her. All she wanted to do was tell somebody of what Jesus done in her life. So many times we think about what they're going to say. Sometimes we think about, well, they know my past. Sometimes we think about, they ain't going to hear me. I don't think she cared if anybody heard her or not, but she was going to tell everybody that she saw, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. And then she says, is not this the Christ? She didn't say he was some ordinary man. She didn't say he was a good man. She said, this is the Christ. She said, this is the one who's supposed to come. He's the one that knows all things and knows everything about me. Oh, and the Bible says in verse number 39, many of the people from the city went and believed because of the words and the sayings that she gave in her testimony, it says in verse number 39. And the Bible says they went to Jesus because of the words that she spake, and then they believed because of the words he spake. Can I say this tonight? I may not be able to give you my testimony and it save your soul, and you may not be able to give somebody your testimony and it save their soul, but I do know this tonight, Brother James, just like that woman's testimony, it'll perk and it'll spur some things in your heart for you to get to Jesus, and he'll give you the words to save your soul. He said the power of the test. He said in John chapter 4, the testimony. Now think about this part of the testimony, the power of a testimony. The testimony that Jesus would say about you. What would Jesus say about you today or tonight? You said, preacher, that's odd. Oh, Jesus had gave testimony before about some people. In Matthew chapter number 11, he gave a testimony about John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, he gave a long testimony of. He said, John the Baptist, nobody had come through a mother's womb greater than John the Baptist. Hallelujah. He said, what'd y'all come out to see? A reed shaking in a wind? Did you come see a man in soft raiment? I mean, and some people don't understand. Michelle, sometimes people go to an old-time Holy Ghost-filled Baptist church, and they come in there, and they sit down, and the song should give a hint what's going about to take place. Somebody amen. and the songs, and then the prayer request ought to give a little bit of a hint what's about to take place. And then when we get down to pray, it ought to give a hint sometimes to give a little bit of hint to take place. I was pulled aside by somebody here recently, that somebody had came to church and visited us, and they said they kind of liked the church a little bit, but it really scared the far out of them when the preaching and the singing got so loud they didn't know how to act or react. And I'm sitting there thinking, going, what'd you come out to see? What'd you expect when you come out to the house of God? Do you expect God just to whisper sweet nothings in your ear, load up your stocking and send you home with a little bitty present wrapped up in a book? Y'all hear this preacher this evening? But when they come out to see John the Baptist, he was a man clothed in camel's hair, and he had a leather girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey, and he was preaching, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist didn't sugarcoat it, didn't have great theological deep messages. He wasn't real huge spiritually, but he was the gospel truth. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I do baptize you with Holy Ghost, or baptize you with water under repentance, but there's one coming after me who's mightier than I, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. He's the one that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, John the Baptist didn't change the message. And when Jesus appeared upon the river banks of Jordan, John the Baptist proclaimed from the top of his lungs, I believe he might have even lost his voice on this one. He says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Don't tell me Jesus hadn't been listening. So when John the Baptist was in prison, and they become to ask Jesus about John, for John, he sent those disciples back and looked at the other disciples. He said, let me tell you something about John. He said, none greater come through the womb than John the Baptist. The Bible says he was the bridegroom's friend. I know some people think I'm crazy, but he was best man. Best man. And the Bible says there is nothing to be spoke of all those years of darkness where there was a famine for the hearing of the word of God. And there's a famine going on today. But the Bible says the law and the prophets were unto who? They were until John. Since then the kingdom of God is preached. And then he said that John the Baptist, he says, and they said, well, Lord, we have been told of the scriptures that Elijah should come. He says, if you'll have it, this is Elijah. Talking about John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist could have let all that to get to his head. John the Baptist could have said, you know what, I'm the baddest preacher. I'm the best, most sought-out preacher there is around. I got more revival meetings. I baptized more people than anybody else. But in John chapter 3, I do believe it's verse number 33, Brother James, this is what John the Baptist said about Jesus. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. John the Baptist said, I don't want you seeing me. Paul, he said, I want you to see Jesus in me. The testimony that Jesus would say about our life, and I know some people would say this right now, and I understand the thinking, but preacher, I'm just, I ain't nobody. I'm nobody special. I understand that, and I commend you on trying to stay humble, but may I remind you in the book of Revelation in the first chapter, I do believe it's the fifth verse, it says that you have been made a king and a priest through the blood of Jesus Christ. That means you're worth something. And maybe you can't do any kind of fancy paintings. We was talking about Brother Ruckman. Is it Peter Ruckman? Is that his first name? Brother Ruckman, the one that used to do all the chalk art and everything, is that his first name, James? Brother Ruckman? Can't remember. But anyway, he would draw these great big fancy drawings with the chalk, and he would preach the gospel. And a lot of people would talk about his art, and maybe you can't draw like he can. And I don't know if anybody knows about Adrian Rogers, and Adrian Rogers, who's passed on now, was a mighty pastor in Tennessee and later on down into Florida. And a lot of people love to hear Adrian Rogers because he could captivate and get a person's ear close to him. I'm talking about modern day preachers. I mean, we could talk about Charles Spurgeon and William Booth and Billy Sunday and all those people. A lot of folks don't know who they are. And a lot of people talk about Billy Graham, about how he could get the multitudes in and tell them about Jesus and the love of God. And a lot of people put those people upon pedestals. But may I remind everybody, I just was just reading in the book of Corinthians here recently how that we're all fitly framed in the body of Christ. We all have a job to do, and we all have a testimony if we've been in that body. Sometimes people say, well, my testimony's not that good. I don't know what Jesus would say about me. Well, all I know is this, is that if you give him your heart and give him the day, you'd be amazed. The best advice that ever was given to me, I try to pass along to every young man, young woman, someone younger than me, even older than me. If you make yourself available to God and accessible to him, you'd be amazed what God will do through your life. But to be available and accessible, you have to put off the things of the world and let that testimony push through. Y'all with the preacher this evening? I want to get back to the scripture and Revelation here in a minute, and then we'll come to a close. One of the things that God showed me about this power of the testimony is not just the words that you say, and we'll get to that part, and then we'll hush. This is the part that God hit me with. And that's how you act. And you say, what do you mean, preacher, how you act? How you act in situations. How you act in the room. How you carry yourself. I have been told, not just here, but in a lot of places I go, they'll point out a sister or a brother. A lot of times it's an elder sister or an elder brother. They'll say, their sister so-and-so. She's a jewel. I mean, she's been the same all my life. She's just got the kindest words to say. I mean, she just loves, loves and loves. She'll have you sit down next to her and she'll make you feel like you're one of hers. Y'all hearing this preacher this evening? Well, that's old brother so-and-so. He don't say much. He just sits over in the corner. You don't think he's actually listening. You think he's zoned out. But then he'll stand up and he'll say something in five words that put five Sundays of preaching under the table and the power that he said. It's not just the words that we say that's the power of a testimony, but it's how we carry ourselves. And I've often said this, but it hit home with me that today, as God said to me, and I've said it I don't know how many times, you could say the right words, but if you say them the wrong way, the meaning falls flat. You can cause more harm than you can good. And I've often thought, and I remember hearing this preached, and I was listening to someone that I had not heard preach in years, And the words that he said matched up with this, and I heard him preach about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but he said something that stuck with me. And I've said it before because I really want it. I don't want folks to hear me preach. I don't want the church to hear me preach or hear God preach through me. I want folks to feel God preach through me. And he said something. He said some preachers hang their hat on being strict. He said, I think you ought to be straight and strict in the gospel. He said, but that's not for me. He said some preachers hang their hat on dotting every I and crossing every T. He said, I think it's good. I think you should want to desire that. He said, but that's not for me. He said, some preachers hang their hat on doing some kind of catchphrases or some kind of things to get them or to buy into what he's saying. He says, don't get me wrong. I know sometimes things come out, but that's not where it's at for me. He said, but I have been accused ever since God has called me to preach that all he is love, 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 love. And he says, you know what? I know at first it kind of bothered me. He said, but since then I've been asking God about it. And you know what? I kind of like it when somebody says, here comes that love preacher. All he does is preach about love, talk about God's love, Jesus' love. All he talks about how much God loves us and doesn't want us to die. And he's just love, 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 love. He said, I'll take that. I'll hang my hat. I'll be a love preacher. I'll be a love preacher. If nobody else wants to be a love preacher, he said, I'll be a love preacher. Don't get me wrong. I don't know what kind of preacher I am in the eyes of God. I do know I want to be the one that God has a message going through. But I do know this, it makes a huge difference on how people look at you before you open your mouth. If people see you come through and they cringe when they see you, or they're afraid if they see you, It's not a very good testimony, is it? And if I've come across that way in any way, this is what got me today. That's one thing I never want to do. Is me walk into a room and somebody go, "Oh Lord, here comes that man," and try and walk the other way. Because you can build a lot of things, and with a couple of words, you can tear down just like that. I know Junior and Eddie won't mind, but we went and seen Roy James. And I don't know how much time he's got left. I don't think anybody knows. I think God knows. And he said some words that really broke my heart. He said, "But I don't know if I've done enough. I don't know if I've done enough." And we said, "Just hear us out. You ain't done enough. Because none of us can do enough to get to heaven. But thank God, Jesus is more than enough for us to get to heaven." Which brings me back to the original scripture. I know we all face troubles, and I know we all face trials, and we all face struggles. And we all fight the devil from time to time. But Gump, no man's ever been able to whoop the devil. Ask Adam and Eve. But there's one who did. Even in the scripture, I do believe in the verses right before it, if I'm correct, and it says, maybe I'm in the wrong. No, it is in verse number 7. And so there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against the angels and prevailed not, and neither was there place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out of the old serpent called the devil and Satan, and deceiveth the whole world, and was cast into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. When Michael, an archangel, at one point also too, it says that they fought over the body of Moses. And Michael, being the archangel of the Lord, did not go one-on-one against Satan. He said, "Devil," he said, "the Lord rebuke thee." He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And oftentimes in our struggles and our battles, but oftentimes too, in the case of the impression that we would give upon one another or upon a lost person, or the bondage of sin that's wrapped in somebody's mind, and sometimes a stern speech, sometimes a kind speech. But I'm telling you, the only way you can overcome the wicked one is what it says in verse number 11 of Revelation chapter 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The power of the blood of Christ and the testimony that he gives, Brother James, my Bible tells me, is what overcomes the wicked one. I've seen them people say, "Well, I bind you, Satan. I bind you. I bind you." I see them on TV all the time. "I bind you." You can't bind him. I can't even bind my shoes together half the time. They're coming undone. And some people say, "That's being mean." I'm not trying to be mean. People don't realize the power of their testimony. The blood stained so cross that paid for our sin. And the life now that we live anew in Christ Jesus. The devil knows he has a short time. And so he's wroth. He's angry. And I've sat and thought it many times, and last night I sat there, and I'll be honest with you, I had my Bible, I was thinking about all the scriptures, and I got all these scriptures in them, I'm going to tell them this scripture, I'm going to tell them that scripture, I'm going to tell them this scripture, I'm going to tell them that scripture, and God said, shut up. Razzle dazzle with scriptures. Tell them from your heart what I've done for you. When you train that child up, show them what God done for you. Not just don't do as I say, but do as I do. And live that life. Have that powerful testimony. Or this will happen, which isn't a message for a later date. Or you could lose the power of your testimony.